Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in, game day edition of the Hoosier Report on this Tuesday, and everybody knows what's going on tonight. IU is at Cameron Indoor Stadium, a 9:30 tip-off, a nationally televised game, and a big, big, big challenge for this undermanned, IU team right now that is battling through some injuries here at the early part of the season. But IU has been on the road once so far this season. It was a tough one down at Arkansas, a tough place to play, and Indiana able to battle through that and lose by just 1 point in a very good and very competitive game. Tonight at Duke, this is the big one. This is the big challenge, and I know IU fans would love to see this team healthy going into Cameron Indoor for a battle tonight, but instead it looks like maybe a couple players back, definitely some still out. Indiana will be shorthanded as they enter this game against Duke tonight, and I agree with most of you. It will be a very, very tough game for IU, in addition to Duke being very talented, having a lot of good players throughout the program, especially some outstanding freshmen. They are a team that just got beat in Hawaii. There was talk that this team could run the gauntlet. They could maybe be someone that could contend for an NCAA championship without losing a game based on their opening season game against Duke, or against Kentucky, rather. That chatter ends probably a lot earlier than any of us thought might, with a loss to a very solid Gonzaga team out in Hawaii at the Maui Invitational. So Duke will be looking for some revenge of their own. They'll be back on their own floor tonight. And, of course, Indiana will go in with some weapons, plenty of weapons, but a little shorthanded. So we'll see how it goes tonight. I think the opening line when it came out yesterday was Duke a 13.5-point favorite. I thought that was pretty fair, to be honest with you. 13.5 points on Duke's home floor. I could see that going, let's hope, to the lesser side of that. But I, in some scenarios, maybe could see it being greater than that. So we'll see how it plays out tonight. But it'll be a fun one. Before we go any farther as well, I want to just give you some programming notes here about coverage forthcoming later today. Of course, my show will re-air today at 3 o'clock as normal if you miss it live at 11 a.m. And we'll be back with you tonight at 7 o'clock for a special pregame edition of the Hoosier Report. We'll really break down the IU-Duke matchup. We'll have some player-to-player matchups. We'll learn more about Duke. We've got a great Duke resource coming on with us tonight, and some other great guests as well. So an hour-and-a-half show from 7 to 8:30 tonight to get you all set and ready for IU and Duke. Then at 8:30, we've got Don Fisher and crew. They take over with the pregame show. And then, of course, tip-off of IU at Duke. That takes place at 9:30 tonight, and we'll have the broadcast with Don Fisher on the call. After that, Jared Morris and the Assembly Call, they will be with us for their post-game show, their review of everything that happens with the Hoosiers tonight. So really, from about 7 o'clock on, we'll have IU basketball coverage here on the Big X, and we invite you to join us tonight. We'll be doing some special shows, some pregame type stuff leading into some of the big games this season throughout the year, so stay with us for announcements on that. But we want to give you the most content we can as we can fit it in here on WXVW. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got Hoosier Headlines presented by Honey Baked Ham, and I tell you what, a lot of stuff to get to. We're going to have to fly through that. I want to cover some stuff that Archie Miller said last night on his coach's show. Want to talk a little more about the IU-Duke game and a couple other headlines to pass along, including one recruiting headline on Trace Jackson Davis. That's coming up in the headline segment number one. Number two, segment two, that is, we'll have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. With Greg, we'll talk IU-Duke. That's going to be a big focus of all of our programming today. We'll talk IU-Duke. We'll talk a little bit about IU-Purdue football, as Greg was at that game. And I know some IU fans a little upset about what he wrote, so we'll talk about that when he joins us as well. Segment three, later in the hour, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with me. We will talk IU-Duke. We'll look at some of the matchups and really kind of hone in on some of the details of the game with him later in this hour. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A lot to get to. I want to start with last night. Archie Miller on his coach's show, which is heard each Monday night here on the Big X. He had some interesting things to say as far as players available for tonight's game, as far as injuries and that sort of thing goes. He started off talking about Devontae Green and Zach McRoberts. He said yesterday, which was Monday afternoon, they went through the non-contact portions of practice, so they appear to be getting a little bit closer. And if you look at all of his comments throughout the show, Green and McRoberts will be game time decisions, it would appear, for this IU team tonight at Duke. So I would not be surprised at all if they warm up with the team. We've seen that here recently, some guys getting a sweat, warming up, but still not ready to play in an official contest where they go up and down with defense and all that. So it sounds like, according to Archie Miller, Green and McRoberts, game time decisions for tonight at Duke. He also mentioned Deron Davis. He said Deron practiced on Monday, but he is still continuing to fight through some soreness, and he's trying to get back in shape. He had that Achilles injury, some soreness recently that's kept him out of some of the more recent games as well, as the injuries just continue to pile up, it seemed like, there for a week and a half period for the Hoosiers. And one other thing that I found interesting last night is Archie actually addressed Jake Forrester and Clifton Moore, their playing time. He said they are, quote, chomping at the bit, end quote, for minutes for this IU team. Obviously, even in some of the games previous to last week, when Indiana, you would think, would have an opportunity to play, almost everybody on the roster, given the way they demolished the mid-major level opponents that they played in the start of the season, those games didn't go that way. Indiana was in battles deep into the second half in both of those contests, especially in the latter game against UC Davis on Friday, and they didn't have the luxury, even with the short lineup, of utilizing everyone on the bench, getting everyone some early season minutes, as I'm sure the plan initially was. So those guys didn't see any time, and they're players that we've talked a lot about in the offseason. Clifton Moore, obviously a returning player. Jake Forrester was a prized high school recruit, and it will be interesting to see how they fit in moving forward this season. Will they get playing time at any juncture in this season? Will they get a little bit? Will they eventually find a way to help the team? But so far, little minutes, including none in some of the more recent games for both Jake Forrester and Clifton Moore. Also, I saw this from John Crispin of the Big Ten Network. He's a TV analyst and, of course, a former player at Penn State. But seven teams ranked from the Big Ten Conference in the most recent Associated Press poll. First time the Big Ten has had seven teams ranked in the AP Top 25 since February 9th of 1999. Those teams ranked in this most recent poll, and Indiana, obviously, not one of those teams. And I think with a couple bounces of the ball that had went different, Indiana could be an eighth team potentially in the top 25. But teams ranked right now, Michigan number 7, Michigan State number 9, Iowa number 14, Ohio State is a bit of a surprise at number 16, Purdue number 19, Wisconsin is number 22, and Maryland rounds out the 7th Big Ten team in the Associated Press poll at number 24 in the most recent poll. That's really impressive, especially for a Big Ten conference that I don't think was expected to have many teams in the top 25 at all. Indiana still receiving some votes in the Associated poll. I think they were the sixth most team not in the top 25 receiving votes. And again, to go back through that list of Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa in the top 25, that's a surprise. I think Ohio State in there is a surprise. Purdue, a lot of people didn't see them in the top 25, but they are there. Wisconsin with Ethan Happ, I don't think you could ever rule them out. And Maryland as well. That's a solid lineup of Big Ten teams. And Indiana, I don't think, is too far away from that, from being in that rotation or in that seven teams. And you would hope, of course, with the Big Ten Conference season getting underway after tonight's Duke game, at least for two games, you would hope that Indiana isn't seventh or eighth in the Big Ten Conference. You would think that with the talent and with Juwan Morgan back and Romeo Langford and all the excitement around the program, this is a year that maybe they could surge ahead to fourth or third or who knows in the Big Ten Conference. But interesting to see. I think the Big Ten Conference is going to wind up being much more competitive than any of us thought it might be heading into the season as well. One other headline today, the NCAA net ratings, it's an abbreviation for NCAA evaluation tool. Indiana is ranked in those ratings, and there was an explanation, like a graphic put out, and there have been some other things done by the NCAA to try to help educate fans and media and others that that cover this stuff. But I tell you what, it's confusing. It's meant to replace the RPI rankings when it comes to March Madness and seeding the bracket and those sorts of things. Indiana is number 34 in these NET rankings based on this NCAA formula. Ohio State is actually number one in the rankings. Virginia's two, Texas Tech three, Michigan four, Gonzaga five, Duke six, Michigan State seventh, Wisconsin eighth. Wisconsin is eighth, Virginia Tech ninth, Loyola Marymount is 10th. But I tell you what, Indiana 34th, they rank from 1 to 353, and this is supposed to be what replaces RPI when the selection committee comes down to those tough details on where exactly to seed people, where exactly to send people. And so we're going to talk more about this as the season goes on. Obviously, it's something to keep an eye on, but a big change for college basketball, grasping the change is the big part of it. Archie Miller was asked about the NET rankings last night on his show, and he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but not to get too caught up in it because you've got a season to play out and they're based on what you do. So, interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how this affects the tournament and also, as we learn more about it, the major differences between the NET evaluation ratings and the former RPI ratings as well. One recruiting headline before we get out of here in the first segment. And I didn't mention this on Monday, but IU's basically entire staff was at the Center Grove game to watch Trace Jackson Davis over the weekend. He is now two games into his senior year. He was pictured right behind the IU bench at the Friday game against UC Davis, and obviously someone that Indiana, even though they're very busy with the season, with practices, with games, with scouting, with injuries they're trying to nurse along, they are keeping a very close eye on Trace Jackson Davis, who it's expected sometime within the next month, a month and a half, will announce his destination for college, and then, of course, he'll sign in the late period coming up in April. But obviously, IU staff finding time in a very busy, hectic part of the season to get out and watch him play. And not only just Coach Miller, or not only an assistant or a couple guys, but to send the entire staff there and use, they have limited appearances that you can get out and do that. So they feel like they had a reason. I'm sure they felt like they needed to be there and pile on like that. But showing Trace Jackson Davis for sure that Indiana is he is a big priority for Indiana. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We will talk IU Duke. Obviously, that's the big subject of the day. We'll touch on IU football losing to Purdue, not making a bowl game, all of that and more with Greg after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We are back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is my guest. And as always, this segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg, we've got two big things to talk about today. The way I see it, IU-Purdue football, the Hoosier season ends with a loss to Purdue, and also, of course, on the basketball front, Indiana with a tough, tough challenge tonight at Duke. Let's start with football. I know that you wrote some things about IU football. I heard about that. I heard some people tweeting at me and wanted me to get on you when you came on the show today. And what's up with the words about IU football fans losing interest, or exactly whatever you wrote on that subject? But it wasn't a good look for Indiana. They had been playing well, and they come up short to a Purdue team that, to be quite honest, had not looked great the last couple weeks.
People are getting on me to you.
Yes.
Like, what are they saying I've done wrong? What are they saying?
It was something about what you wrote about IU football fans or the program, and it's a good thing when they get on you, as we've talked about before.
Well, but, I mean, yeah, it's a good thing, but I find it hard to believe, and I don't mean to be mean to anybody. Your listeners have been great to me, so I understand fans. I get it. There's certain things I got some blind spots on too, but what I wrote was the IU fan base has, they gave up on football decades ago. We all know that. They started to show a little bit of interest in the Kevin Wilson era, just a little bit. He's starting to go to bowl games and a little bit more interest, a little bit. But they've given up again, and I give you Exhibit A, and I defy anybody to tell me I'm wrong. Exhibit A is the game Saturday against your arch rival. You're playing to get yourself into a bowl, and you're playing to knock them out of a bowl, and again, against Purdue, at noon, and they've sold so few tickets that the IU ticket office, athletic department, we're giving them away. Literally, buy one, get one free.
Mm.
Buy one, get one free, and there might have been, in a facility that holds 50,000, there might have been 35, and of those 35, at least 15 were Purdue fans. At least. I mean, it was almost 50-50. So I'm going to tell you, there might have been 20,000 IU fans in the building. 20,000 IU fans in the building for Purdue, with all that at stake. Buy one, get one free. And you got people telling you that I was wrong to write that IU fans have given up on this program? Exhibit A, and I rest my case.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing.
And to be clear, Matt, that some folks, they read something like that and they think, well, I haven't given up. He's wrong. I mean, good Lord, I didn't say the whole – everybody gave up. But as a fan base, broad strokes, the fan base has given up. Did you give up, whoever you are out there? If you were there, no, you haven't given up. But you're in the minority. Get your friends to wake up and get out there and support them. Although I kind of understand, this is a frustrating team to watch. It's a frustrating team to support. It's a frustrating coaching staff because it's hard to believe in them. I mean, I get why there's apathy. I get it.
Two things stand out to me, and I'm far from a football guy. I think anybody that listens to this program, even in the dead of football season, will know that basketball is what drives our show, and I think that's why we get people that are pretty passionate about it, that are with us every day. But two things about IU football right now. One is their lack to close big games. It hasn't just been this season. It's been multiple times this season, recent seasons as well. That's concern one. And I know there are a lot of other things you could break down on a much more minute scale. But concern number two is with another season of not making a bowl game, and you see Purdue does make a bowl game, and you see some other successes in the state with football, I worry about the recruiting and the ability for Tom Allen, who came in blazing as far as recruiting goes and came in with lots of connections with high school coaches. And I think even for next year has continued to do well, especially within the state of Indiana recruiting-wise. But, you know, you make a couple bowl games, excitement is up, then you have some years without, maybe when you're expected to and have opportunities to. Not sure how long that can continue.
Yeah, Allen's a good recruiter. He appears to be. I mean, he's got a lot of energy. We all see that. He's a former, obviously, a very good and popular high school coach in our state. So he's got great connections. So he's doing okay. And he's got some Florida connections, too, because he was in South Florida for a year or two, however long he was down there. But he's brought in some Florida talent as well. So he's got the makings of a good recruiter. You know, what he has the makings of is a really good defense coordinator. That's what he has the makings of. And there's, I don't mean that, if that's a mean thing to say, then okay. But, I mean, I think he's probably really good in that role and a great recruiter. And, like, there's a spot for people like him. But that spot is not the head coaching job at IU, where you need a savant to win there. I mean, it's when everything's stacked against you, and Purdue's the same way. When everything's stacked against you, you're maybe not your tradition 30, 40 years ago, but your last 10, 15, 20 years, the fan base not in love. The budget's probably not up to standard as well, what you're competing against. Your facilities are old and getting older. You need kind of what Duke needed back in the late 80s. They needed Steve Spurrier, and that's what it took to start winning. That's kind of what IU and Purdue football are. They're kind of Duke football back then, and IU, they got Brohm. I'm sorry, Purdue's got the right guy. They got Brohm. The question is, can they keep him? IU, I don't know if they have the right guy. And the most important thing that'll happen, and I think this is not even close, I don't even know what would be second. The most important thing that's going to happen to IU football this offseason is Jeff Brohm leaving.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, because he's just that good. You know, he's that good. He's going to have Purdue growing and building. And his recruiting class right now is fifth in the Big Ten, at least as of last week. I don't know what's happened since then. But they were fifth in the Big Ten out of 14 or whatever, however many the Big Ten has. And they were and like 19th in the country. And that's a problem if you're their main competition, because that means they're taking big steps ahead. And it's hard enough to grow if you're IU, if you're Duke football, if you're Purdue. It's hard enough to grow anyway. But when the team that you're aligned against is growing at a rapid pace, it makes you look that much worse to your fan base and the recruits and everybody else. And granted, Purdue's record, I can hear people out there, Purdue, you know, one whole win more. I get it, but there's a big, big picture here, and we all see it. Unless you don't want to see it, but the big picture is one of these programs is skyrocketing up, unless their coach leaves, and that'd be the best thing that ever happened to IU football. But I hope it doesn't happen, because I'm a sports writer in our state, and I want to write about good teams, and I want to write about teams that people care about. People care about Purdue football right now, and I hope IU figures this stuff out, because they don't care right now, and that's not good for my business.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Any thought on Brohm? I said this yesterday. You know, where we're at in the state, the Brohm family name as far as football goes, whether it's at the high school level or with U of L, is synonymous. I mean, it's a well-known name, and I think a lot of people immediately assumed that he would be the man, that this is where he wants to be, long before probably any of those conversations had truly taken place. But any speculation or any insight on what you think he might do? It sounds like Purdue's willing to make a fight, a challenge financially, with probably whatever else they have to keep him there.
Yeah, I mean, it's so dangerous to do it. I've already done, so I might as well do it here with you too. It's so dangerous to guess with these guys, because you don't know, and they all say the right thing, or at least as close to the right thing as they can. And I remember 10 years ago, and I don't mind telling you his name, because it really doesn't, I mean, it doesn't make him look bad. Buzz Williams was at Virginia Tech about 10 years, no, I'm sorry, he was at Marquette about 10 years ago, whenever this was. And I had written a story about somebody, I was at CBS at the time, and I'd written about somebody, I forget who it was, somebody in coaching, it might have been Nick Saban. You know, saying, I don't know what to tell you, but I'll say this. I won't be the coach at Alabama. And a week later, he's the coach at Alabama. Maybe I'd written about that. I don't remember. All I know is Buzz Williams calls me and says, then what is the right thing to say? This is an off-the-record thing. And again, I don't mind saying it because it doesn't make him look bad. But he was a guy that was getting interest and just wanted to know, what do I do? How do I win this thing? Because you get put in a bad spot. You know, you get asked publicly, are you leaving? And, like, what do you do if you – you want your leverage with your school if you're going to stay, so you don't want to just say, no, I'm not leaving. You might leave, but you might not. They haven't offered it to you yet. I mean, you're really in a tough spot. And that's just an example. Literally, a coach called me, asked me one time, how can I say this and not be ripped by you whether I leave or not in a week? And for the record, he didn't leave that year. He just was asking me in big picture. Brohm, so it's hard to guess. Brohm sounds like a guy who's staying. everybody does sound like a guy who's staying until they leave. I get it. But he sounds like a guy who's really staying, and you look at who he is, who he's been, why he came to Purdue in the first place, the fact he's only been there 2 years, the fact that Purdue has done everything he asked him to do and maybe a little bit more and will continue to do so, and he can use this Louisville interest to get more out of him, and not in a bad way, but just, you know, if you want to win, you want to keep me, here's what you got to do, and Purdue will do it. They'll do whatever it takes. So I don't think he's going to go. The moment that job came open, I thought he's gone. I mean, of course he's gone. But the more he talks and just I might look stupid. I've already written this a few times, but he doesn't sound like a guy who's leaving.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. Let's switch to some basketball now. Obviously, game day, IU at Duke tonight, 9:30. Our coverage starts at 7 o'clock here with some special pregame material. Curious your take on this IU team that's battling through some injuries, that doesn't have near the depth at this point of the season we thought they might, as they go to take on a Duke team that, other than the Gonzaga game, has been somewhat untouchable, and people were already getting excited after that Duke-Kentucky game, saying, oh, Duke could be the team that makes it undefeated to a national championship. And, of course, that came crashing down, I'm sure, a lot sooner than myself and everyone else thought that their undefeated streak might. But tough place to play, a really good Duke team. Those freshmen they have, like Romeo, are very exciting. I'm curious to hear what you think will happen tonight.
Well, I think that the team that's playing at home, the team that has the first three picks in the 2019 NBA draft, the team coached by Mike Krzyzewski is going to win. And I think it could be ugly. And not because IU's bad. I don't mean that at all. But I covered actually before some of CBS, but before CBS, I was at Charlotte Observer for 6 years, and I covered Duke. And I saw what happened in Cameron. Cameron's unlike any place you've ever seen. Cameron is, I mean, Cameron is the most terrifying place I've ever seen. If you're in a visiting place, I mean, I've never seen like it. It's terrifying. There's 9,314 people every time, and they're right on top of you. In fact, they're right on top of the media. I can feel their spit in the back of my head as they're screaming. They're loud. They don't stop. It's so loud that when you walk out of when the game ends and you leave the court and you go into the press room in the back, and it's quiet. Your eardrums, now they hurt, and they hurt because they spent 2 hours. Your eardrums have been pushing against all that volume. And 2 hours later, it's gone. It's like having the bends when you come up from the deep sea diving. I mean, your eardrums can't handle the fact there's no noise anymore. It hurts. So it's a hard place to play. And I don't see them losing at home very often. I don't see it happening tonight. I'll say this. Indiana has the right point guard to have a chance. And I realize Fennessy is not the most important player on their team. But either you can handle their defense or you can't. And if you can't handle it, you're going to lose by 50. He's a very, very strong physically and mentally, point guard. And I don't think Duke's defense is, ever since they've had all these freshmen, you know, the one and done, so every year their defense is not what it used to be. So they got a shot with him having the ball in his hands. And they've got a future, couple of future pros in their own right, a couple, and at least one lottery pick for sure in Romeo. But I just, how do you go against Duke playing at home against anybody? I don't.
Greg, I know you've covered college basketball across the country for a long time, and I know the game has also changed since you've been covering it, but can you ever recall a freshman class? I mean, Indiana fans were just elated to get Romeo Langford, and I know there were some special things with him being from the state and where the program is at that made that extra special, but can you ever recall three, because you mentioned probably the likely three, 1, 2, 3, and a lot of mock drafts that are out early, the same team, three high-level players that are going to be 1, 2, 3, or let's say top 5, or even top 10. Maybe you could go to a Kentucky roster at some point, but have you ever seen that much freshman talent come in and dominate and do some of the things that Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, and Cameron Reddish have done so far as freshmen?
No, nobody's seen it. I mean, it's never happened before. It's never come close to happening. Now, Kentucky's had some recruiting classes with 2 or 3 or 4 guys in the top 10. But if you look at history, shown that a couple of those guys weren't quite that good. A couple of them were, but the closest I can think of, as far as the hype it had, and also maybe it's really not even that close. But my first year covering Duke, okay, going back to Duke, 1997-98, their freshman class that year, if I get the dates right, freshman class, they went after Coach K went after the top recruit at four positions, and I know this for a fact. Didn't expect to get them all, got them all. William Avery is a point guard. William Avery turned pro too soon after sophomore year and bounced out of the league. Chris Burgess was a senior. I'm sorry, a center out of Utah. Wasn't a great pro. I'm sure he's made money overseas. The other two guys were Elton Brand, who was a great, great pro, and then Shane Battier, who was a very, very good pro. Brand and Battier were both National Players of the Year. William Avery was All-ACC, and Burgess was just a piece who transferred. That team also had, by the way, Corey Maggette. Maybe the next year Corey Maggette came in as a freshman. Couldn't even play. I mean, he played, but couldn't start. Averaged 25 a game in the NBA 2 years later. So those were some loaded teams I saw at Duke. And that 97-98 Duke freshman class is the best I'd ever seen until this one. This is one player short, although I guess Jones, the point guard, is on there too. But, no, we've never seen something like this. And I'm not – you can't see better because you look at how they're doing. It's not like, yeah, they're overrated, a couple of them. No, not any of them. Not any of them. Zion Williamson, if anything, Zion Williamson was underrated because he was like seen as maybe a top four or five pick. No, he's going number one overall. I don't know. I mean, he's going number one. And anybody who doesn't take Zion Williamson number one, you're an idiot because that guy's going to score 30 a game in the NBA simply because you can't stop him. I don't care if he can shoot or not. You can't stop him.
Greg, I know that, and I'm sure that other IU people are and Romeo people are going to watch the game tonight from the same perspective. You kind of go into it with the feeling that, you know, Indiana's got a major challenge ahead of them. I think the line opened yesterday at like 13.5 points. Some people would tell you that it probably will be a lot more than that, but maybe anything under 13 points is a I don't want to say a moral victory, but hope that Indiana can play in tough environments and can build as the season goes to maybe rematch with someone like that down the road in the tournament. But tonight, for me, given my location and my background, I want to see Romeo Langford, whether IU wins or lose, whether IU is in the game at the end or not, and how he competes in this environment at Cameron Indoor Stadium, how he goes head-to-head against Zion Williamson at times and the other Duke freshmen, because we've seen him do it in the Shoe Bowl in the summer. He had some great matchups. They were live-streamed. They were big deals for AAU basketball, where he was able to get the best of Zion Williamson in a July matchup that I can remember, and that's remarkable given, like you say, what Zion can do, what he's done so far. But really interesting to see how Romeo competes in this high-level game tonight against guys that he's played with and against before at a high level.
Yeah, and one thing I didn't say earlier when I said IU, really, you're not going to win, just the depth is such a major problem. Some guys are coming back, but they haven't played in a while, so they're going to be a little bit rusty. So it's just everything is against them tonight. Romeo will be fascinating to watch for a couple of reasons, but the for me the biggest one is he's going to be guarding and being guarded by either R.J. Barrett or Cam Reddish. I mean, just physically, position-wise, athletically, size. I mean, that's who he matches up with on their team and vice versa. So we're going to see him against a future, you know, a top three draft pick, and we're going to see them against a top five or whatever Romeo is draft pick. That's going to be – so we're not just seeing can Romeo go to a high-level environment and play on the road, you know, a great team. In the big, in the macro sense, in the micro level, he's going to go head-to-head with R.J. Barrett or head-to-head with Cam Reddish, one of them. And that's going to be fun.
Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, as always, thanks for the chat. We'll talk with you again soon.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Matt.
All right, our segment with Greg each week, presented by Coffee Crossing. When you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about their sister company. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe. They have great coffee, great bread, great pastries as well. Now serving breakfast and lunch. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram. Mike is actually at the airport en route to the game tonight. He's going to join us for a conversation. We'll look more at some of the matchups in this IU-Duke contest and other things surrounding the game as well. That comes up next. And don't forget tonight, I'm back with you at 7 o'clock. We've got an hour and a half special show tonight where we're going to preview IU-Duke and get you all set for the tip-off. We've got that from 7 to 8:30, 8:30 to 9:30, the IU Network pregame show, and, of course, 9:30, the tip right here on the Big X Sports Radio. After the game, Jared Morris and the Assembly Call IU postgame show. That's what we'll be waiting for you after the game. So lots of IU coverage coming your way today here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a break. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is next. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. We always talk IU basketball, and of course a big day to be on that subject. Lots of discussion about IU at Duke tonight. It's a big challenge for the IU Hoosiers. The game tips at 9:30, IU Network pregame at 8:30, and we've got some special programming coming on tonight starting at 7 o'clock to take you up until the start of the game. Mike, thanks for being with us today. Obviously, this is one of those games that you know going into it. It's Duke. It's at Cameron Indoor. IU shorthanded. It's a very tough challenge for this team. I don't think anybody fails to recognize that. But this team has Jawan Morgan and his leadership and talent. And, of course, on the opposite end of that spectrum, freshman standout Romeo Langford, who is in the same ballpark, we can say, of Zion Williamson, of the other freshmen at Duke that are getting so much notoriety in this college basketball season so far. So Indiana goes in, no matter the depth, with some weapons and the opportunity to, we hope, keep things close and make it fun and competitive tonight.
Yeah, they'll get something out of this no matter what happens tonight. They'll find out how they perform against athletes that are really, and on average, better than they are. Duke is unique, and they have some 6'7"-ish guys that can do everything. They're really strong, but can play out in the perimeter. Three guys that probably go in the first five picks of the NBA draft. But they're young. They're all freshmen. They didn't handle the stretch very well against Gonzaga and lost that game. You know, played some hero ball. Well, Indiana's had a little bit of experience, too, with that Arkansas game and what works and what doesn't down the stretch. And we'll see what happens. You just never know. This it's still November.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is with us. For the matchups tonight, that's one of the things I wanted to talk with you some about. Obviously, the two key players in this IU lineup, Jawan Morgan and Romeo Langford, but other players will be needed and have played well so far this season. On the Duke side of things, they are highlighted by three freshmen, but they have much more than that to put forth against the Hoosiers tonight. Who do you see IU, as far as Romeo and Jawan specifically, who do you see those guys matching up with? Who will they guard? Who will guard them? Who will they have to go against? Who will Romeo have to go against if he wants to have a big output in a very tough road environment tonight?
Well, I think you put Robert Finnessy on Trey Jones, smallest player that will start for Duke. And then you, I would think, put Romeo on R.J. Barrett. Zion Williamson is probably something that you need a little bit bigger guy for, so that might fall onto Justin Smith. So that's what, you know, you want. You also want to protect Jawan Morgan as much as possible against foul trouble. We saw, you know, we've already seen over the years what that means to Indiana. So you probably want him on one of the bigs for Duke that's not as offensive-minded as those big three.
Talking with Mike Pegram as we look at the IU-Duke game tonight, a 9:30 tip-off. We talked about Arkansas being a tough first road game of the year because of the reputation that Fayetteville has as a tough place to play a college basketball game. For the second road game of the year, I guess Arkansas was a good warm-up, but everybody knows Cameron Indoor Stadium is a extremely tough place to play. I've never been there, but know plenty of people that have, and it seems like the fans are just right on top of you in that small gymnasium. I think it seats 8,000-something people. And, of course, the students are stretched right across the middle part of the floor, right at the timeline on both sides. And so they get the opportunity to play an extremely big part of the fan environment at Cameron Indoor. But you've been around. You've been to a lot of these games and environments. It's got to be one of the best out there and one of the toughest for visiting teams to play in. And Indiana's going to experience every bit of that tonight because this Duke team coming off a loss, they and their fans, I would believe, extremely hungry to get a victory.
Yeah, it's like playing a major college game in a high school gymnasium setup. It's a weird place, and you go in there and think this is the college gym for the top five program in the country, and and it and everything's on top of you, like it used to be in the 60s and 70s for college games. And then you have tremendous talent and the, you know, the intimidation of, you know, arguably the greatest coach in college basketball history. It's just, it just creates a crazy environment, especially with the sophisticated signs and chants or whatever they have from the Duke students. I'm looking forward to what they come up with tonight. And it's a great atmosphere for the young Indiana players used to the road of the Big Ten because, you know, they start the Big Ten this weekend. So,
Mike, you know, it's IU Duke, and it's part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. So, obviously, it's a big game. And Duke and IU, both traditional college basketball programs. Duke, obviously, has had more success, at least more recently, than what Indiana has had. But despite all the good players and all the good coaches and all the storylines in this game tonight, we'd be lying to ourselves if we didn't admit before it happens that, and it's even been this way in the promotion of the game, the big deal about this game is the freshmen. Obviously, Duke has three. Greg Doyle and I really spoke about them in the last segment, and Indiana with Romeo Langford. That is no question what the big attraction, I think, at least a national level is to this game, is seeing potentially four picks, maybe the top three, maybe four of the top five, depending on what early mock draft you look at, on the same college floor tonight going against each other.
Yeah, they're competing for the first pick or two. I mean, these guys all have a chance. Even Romeo, I think, has a chance to pick number one. I think Williamson is kind of past R.J. Barrett playing her here in the first few weeks of the season, just showing how special he is. What a unique kind of player he is. And RJ struggled against Gonzaga down the stretch, missed several shots in the final minutes, and now has hurt his draft stock. So games like this do matter in terms of the professional aspirations of these players, and they're really competitive. So, this one will definitely have some impact in a small way on Romeo's draft outlook. Because he is playing against guys that he will face in the NBA maybe for the next, you know, 10, 20 years.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. I want to ask you this. I mentioned some in the headline segment to start the show today, but Archie Miller with some comments on his radio show last night that would maybe lead you to believe that Zach McRoberts and Devontae Green could possibly play tonight. Nothing definitive, maybe a game time decision for them, but where do you see the players at least the ones who have been injured, who missed the last game? Your thoughts on maybe who will play, who will not play, and who could possibly play as a game time type decision?
Well, I think there's a really good chance you'll see Devontae Green play, just based on him being dressed and some of the things he's put on social media. I'm talking about being dressed the last home game. Zach McRoberts, I would say there's also a good, very good chance, but it's a back, and those are very unpredictable. It depends on the day sometimes with a back injury. So I don't want to say you'll see Zach McRoberts, but again, he's a guy that had not been dressed for a few games and then went out last game and was in uniform, did participate in some of the shoot around before the game, and looks like a guy that looked at that moment like a guy with a few more days of rest could go. But, you know, you have to see. I mean, as big as this Duke game is and how much we want to talk about it, that, you know, they have a conference game on Saturday that, you know, does mean maybe even more.
That was my next question. In the whole scheme of things with this season, how big of a game is the Duke game? I know it's nationally televised. I know it's a showcase game as far as freshmen go. I know it's a great challenge for Indiana. But when you've got conference games coming up next, two of them, before you jump back into some non-conference play, and you look at what else is ahead this season as far as competing for Big Ten championship possibly and getting in the NCAA tournament, how big is this game tonight in the whole scheme of things?
Well, it's really more of an opportunity. I think a loss tonight does not really hurt Indiana in the scheme of things unless it's a real blowout situation. So it's really more of an opportunity. While Saturday is a whole different thing where if you lose that game, it's really costly. You know, win tonight, though, puts Indiana on the path to a nice seed for the NCAA tournament. So, you know, that's what I mean by the opportunity. It would be a national recognition. It'll be a ranking, maybe even top 15 ranking, top 10 maybe, if they win tonight. So there's a lot of opportunity ahead without much downside. Well, this weekend is a tremendous downside if you fall, 0-1 with a home loss in the Big Ten. But it's hard to say. I think the conference game is a bigger deal or a much more bigger risk situation.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. Mike is with us on Tuesdays talking IU basketball. I mentioned this earlier as well, but I want to come back and expand on it a bit with you. 7 Big Ten teams ranked in the most recent Associated Press poll. First time since back in February of 1999 that the conference has had that many teams in the top 25 of college basketball. Indiana's not one of those teams, although I truly don't think they're that far outside of the top 25, and their votes that they still continue to receive would indicate that a lot of voters feel that way as well. Are you surprised by the number of teams in the top 25 at this point of the season from the conference? And are you surprised if I had told you before the year began that, hey, there's going to be 7 teams ranked from the Big Ten in the top 25 in late November, and Indiana's not going to be one of them? Would that surprise you as well?
Yeah, we're talking about a league that only had about 4 teams make the tournament last year. Some teams have come out better than I expected. Iowa's probably the top in that category. They've played really well. We thought that they might be poor defensively again, but they've played well in all phases of the game and got some really nice wins here in November. Wisconsin, we thought, might be a team to emerge because they had several players back from injury, but you just never know until you actually see them play, and they've looked really solid. I know they lost at Virginia, but that's a bad matchup, and that's a really good team. Yeah, the Big Ten right now, I think, is, I believe, the number one ranked conference in the Pomeroys, and if not that, the number two, but I think they're number one. They've really had a nice start to the year. And that's important because the window of non-conference is smaller with this 20-game Big Ten schedule. So now they're all set playing each other moving forward. They'll have the tremendous rankings in the RPIs or whatever you want to call the new measurement that the NCAA is using. So they're really going to be set for seeds, and they won't have anything to worry about getting only 4 teams in again. They'll probably get 7 or 8.
Speaking of who might play and who may not play tonight, I just see that the IU men's basketball Twitter account sent out a little clip of Devontae Green. He's in his practice gear, and it says it's raining in Durham, and he's knocking the bottom out of some 3-pointers. So
that's a good sign, too,
yeah,
right?
Perhaps your thoughts there will come true, that he will see at least sometime in the game tonight at Duke. One other thing I want to ask you about, Mike. I know, and Mike is joining us, I should say, from the airport en route to the game. So we appreciate your extra commitment this week to get on the air with us. But the NCAA net ratings, it's an evaluation tool for the NCAA as far as the selection committee, and it was put in place to somewhat replace the RPI, or I guess diminish the importance of the RPI. They released the first rankings from 1 to 353 yesterday, and Indiana was, I believe, 34th in those rankings, which for this point of the season, I guess if you're at that ranking, it's you're doing okay. You're in a pretty good spot as far as for this early date. Do you, Mike, and you've got a good understanding of some of this stuff, do you comprehend the method behind these new rankings? It's they've had some kind of graphics out. They've sent some things out to the media, I know, but a little different is the best way I know to describe it. I'm curious if you have taken enough look at it to maybe give it a stab to explain to listeners, here's about what these things are, here's what they mean, here's how they're formulated.
Well, I know they have Ohio State number one, and I should have mentioned them along with Iowa as being kind of a surprise early on. I think anything that done by official group will not necessarily include point spreads and maybe massaging some things for players that are injured or not participating. There's a lot of little things that go into some of these other rankings that are probably a better measure early on, at least. You know, so, you know, I the measurements that are done over the years, the RPI, you know, is the one I we know most about, often are not as good as what we can get from people that take everything into consideration. And because the official agencies can't necessarily, you know, the points that the team won by and a lot of other things that just look at road, home, and win or loss and things like that. And that's just not necessarily what works. So, but, you know, they have to have some measurement to go by what they do, how they do the seeding and the selections at the end of the year for the tournament.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us on the program today, en route to the game at Cameron Indoor in Durham, North Carolina. Mike, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next week. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the environment. We'll talk with you again soon.
All right, man.
All right, Mike Pegram always with us on the program, en route to the game tonight. That will just about wrap things up for this show today. A couple of reminders. First off, don't forget you can podcast all of our shows. They are available on the SoundCloud app and also the Apple Podcast app as well. They're both free, easy to access, easy to download. If you miss a program, if you miss a segment, easy to go back and listen to whatever you may have missed. Also, tonight we'll be back at 7 o'clock for a pregame special edition of the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio. We've got some Duke folks coming on to break down the matchups and talk about things from a Duke perspective. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he will join us for a special chat tonight as well. And we've got some other things lined up for an hour and a half show to get you ready for IU and Duke tonight at Cameron Indoor Stadium. It's a 9:30 tip-off, so join us at 7 on the radio for an hour and a half of pregame discussion. From 8:30 to 9:30, you can get the latest with Don Fisher, including his pregame interview with Archie Miller about injuries and maybe who's going to dress and not dress, who's going to play and not play tonight. And then, of course, the game tips off at 9:30 with the Assembly Call postgame show after. I'll catch you tonight, special edition of the program at 7 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio.